From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news for Sedot Lines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo speaks about floods in Jakarta and surrounding areas. Turkish Parliament agrees to mobilize troops to Libya. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again spoke about the floods that hit Jakarta and its surroundings since December 31 until Thursday. Speaking after inaugurating the opening of the Indonesia Stock Exchange Trade in 2020 on Thursday morning in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo stressed the importance of cooperation of all parties in handling the floods disaster. According to him, floods can be caused by many factors, ranging from the environmental damage to carelessness of the community in maintaining cleanliness. However, according to Jokowi, what is needed now is quickly handling the impact of the flood disaster. Jokowi stressed the importance of prioritizing the safety and security of the community, especially those affected, both directly and indirectly by the flood disaster.
Ini harus dikerjakan bersama-sama.
This must be done together. The central government, the provincial government, the regency and city governments all work together to deal with this because some are caused by damage to ecosystems, ecological damage, but also because of our mistakes in littering everywhere, many things. But I want the cooperation to be built at the central, provincial, and district city level so that everything can be handled properly. But the most important thing at the time of events such as the current evacuation of flood victims, the community safety must be the priority. Regarding the handling of floods, which must involve many parties, President Joko Widodo said he would discuss the matter after the flood victims have finished. The discussion will be carried out, including infrastructure development to deal with flooding. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stressed the importance of maintaining trust in the domestic capital market. This trust is important to support national economic development. Speaking while inaugurating the opening of the Indonesia Stock Exchange Trade in 2020 on Thursday morning in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said, in an effort to maintain market trust in Indonesia, all relevant authorities must clean up the Indonesian capital market from dirty practices that could reduce public trust. Jokowi even encouraged capital market manipulators can be dealt with firmly based on applicable laws so that the Indonesian capital market is clean and has integrity. We are heading to that direction, so we hope that the practices that I have stated in the future must be eliminated. In the future, it must be cleaned, because what we want to build is trust. A trust. I speak for sure because I hear information. And I have also conveyed it to the Financial Services Authority chairperson
to all IDX managing directors, and we have this impression to build a trust. Build trust for the Indonesia Stock Exchange. At the opening of the Indonesia Stock Exchange in 2020, President Joko Widodo also expressed his hope that in 2020, the Indonesian Stock Exchange could record better achievements. According to Jokowi, Indonesia should be grateful because in 2019, the national economy is relatively stable amid global economic uncertainty. The performance of the capital market in 2019, according to Jokowi, recorded an encouraging achievement, bearing in mind that the stock listing activity managed to record 55 new companies. According to Jokowi, this is a positive achievement because it is the highest number in ASEAN and the highest number 7 in the world. In addition, long-term fundraising through the Indonesia Stock Exchange also reached 877 trillion rupiahs. Jokowi said this is also the highest number ever achieved. The Indonesian government has several reasons to move the national capital to East Kalimantan. One of them is to improve the efficiency of administrative functions in Indonesia. This was stated by Dr. Rija Yosia Sunindio, Associate Professor and Director of Postgraduate Research at the Faculty of Built Environment at the University of New South Wales, Australia, in a special interview on the Sydney Educational Radio Community Radio in Sydney on Thursday. According to him, 40% of Jakarta city area is below sea level, causing frequent flooding.
Currently, about 40% of the city is actually below the sea level, causing frequent flooding. And even yesterday, there was a massive flooding in Jakarta. So therefore, moving the capital city to a new planned city, there is a potential to improve the efficiency of the administrative function of the country.
Dr. Rija Yosia Sunindio added that up until now, the Indonesian people were of the opinion that the development carried out by the government has so far been more centered on the island of Java. So moving the Indonesian capital to East Kalimantan was expected to change this perception. In addition, the relocation of the national capital is expected to increase development in other regions in Indonesia. The Turkish parliament on Thursday approved the draft law to mobilize troops to Libya. The troops will be sent to support the government of the National Accord recognized by the United Nations. Parliament shortened its winter recess to discuss developments in the Libyan capital Tripoli. Speaker of the Parliament Mustafa Sentop said the bill had been passed into law with a vote of 325 against 184. The AK party, which supports President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his allies, holds a parliamentary majority, while all opposition parties voted against the bill. The government has not revealed details about the possible deployment of Turkish troops in Libya. The enactment of this new law allows the government to decide on the scope, amount, and time of any mission. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A high-ranking officer of the Iranian Armed Forces, General Qasem Soleimani, was reported died in an air strike at the Iraqi International Airport on Friday. He was the commander of the allied Iranian Army Corps, the Quds Force, who had also fought in Aleppo, Syria. As reported by the Associated Press, the incident occurred when Soleimani just got off the plane at the airport. Soleimani's body is only identified by the ring he wears. In the incident, the deputy commander of the Iraqi Shia militia, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, also died. In addition, senior Hezbollah militia official and an Iraqi airport protocol officer, Mohammed Reda, also died in the incident. A total of 28 people were lost when a devastating forest fire broke out in eastern Victoria, Australia. The governor of Victoria State, Daniel Andrews, said two people have been confirmed dead in a fire in East Gippsland. Andrews, on Friday, as quoted by The Guardian, worried about the safety of the state of 28 people who could not be found. Andrews declared disaster status for East Gippsland on Thursday night. The declaration requires a mandatory evacuation process, including forcing people to evacuate. The status of the fire disaster has been officially declared in the region. Residents in northeast Walwa have been urged to leave their homes and evacuate. Singapore's Ministry of Health, MOH, said on Thursday, it is aware of the outbreak of a cluster of severe pneumonia cases in Wuhan, China, and is monitoring the situation closely. Wuhan, in the central Hubei province, had on Monday issued a notification saying hospital have treated a successive series of patients with unexplained pneumonia without offering more details. The ministry said on Thursday that as a precautionary measure, MOH has alerted all medical practitioners to be vigilant to look out for suspected cases with pneumonia who have recently returned from Wuhan. It was stated suspect cases with fever and acute respiratory illness or pneumonia and with travel history to Wuhan within 14 days before onset of symptoms will be isolated as a precautionary measure to prevent transmission. From Friday evening, temperature screening will be implemented at Changi Airport for all travelers arriving from Wuhan, with suspected cases being referred to hospitals for further assessment. Well, listeners, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Pyongyang Revokes Nuclear Moratorium and Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Test. While listener, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un announced that his side has revoked a moratorium on nuclear weapons and intercontinental ballistic missile test. He set a deadline December 31, 2019, for the United States to make separate concessions after 18-month diplomacy. President Donald Trump did not produce satisfactory results. In the fifth plenary meeting of the North Korean Workers' Central Committee on Tuesday, leader Kim Jong-un emphasized that his country would turn to concrete actions that might shock and make United States pay the pain suffered by North Korean people. North Korea will introduce new strategic weapons in the near future. However, it is still unclear whether the test will be conducted soon. It is possible that leader Kim Jong-un's announcement is a short warning to President Donald Trump to lift the sanctions. Pyongyang will continue to develop the strategy weapons and prerequisites needed for the country's security until the U.S. changes his unfriendly policies and builds stronger peacekeeping mechanisms with North Korea. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump, who has met leader Kim Jong-un for three times, open calls North Korean restraint a major diplomatic achievement. In contrast to Kim Jong-un's statement when speaking with reporters on Tuesday night at the Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, President Donald Trump even said that he still had a very good relation with leader Kim Jong-un. President Donald Trump believes that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will uphold his commitment to denuclearization. North Korea has conducted ballistic missile tests that can reach the mainland of the United States of America. But of course, acts of violence are not the best way to solve problems on the current peninsula, as stated by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, so that Washington can choose peace and prosperity instead of dispute and battle with North Korea. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the regular Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on October 4, 1957. Spacecraft of the Soviet Union Sputnik 1 was launched from Baikonur Cosmodrome in the Socialist Republic of Kazakhstan. Sputnik 1 became the first unmanned space mission and the first artificial satellite to orbit the Earth on October 4, 1957. The launching of Sputnik 1, which was made by Soviet Union at the peak of Cold War, surprised the Western world and caused the United States of America to begin space competition with Soviet Union and also movement to reform science education. The next event was in 1999 when North Maluku, one of Indonesian provinces, was established. North Maluku was officially established on October 4, 1999 through Law No. 46, 1999 and Law No. 6, 2003. Before officially becoming a province, North Maluku was part of Maluku Province, namely North Maluku and Central Halmahera Regency. At the beginning of its establishment, North Maluku Province has capital city in Ternate, which is located on the slope of Mount Gamalama for 11 years. Precisely until August 4, 2010, after 11 years of the transition period and preparedness of the infrastructure, the capital city of North Maluku was moved to Sofifi City, which is located on Halmahera Island, that is the biggest island. And the last event was in 2000, when Banten was separated from West Java to become a new province of Indonesia. Banten is a province on Java Island, Indonesia. Earlier, the province was part of West Java Province, but the province has been separated since October 4, 2000, with decree of the Law No. 23-2000. Its central government is in Serang. Banten is connected line between Java and Sumatra. In regard to its geographical position and government, Banten territory, especially Tangerang City, Tangerang Regency, and South Tangerang City, is buffer zone of Jakarta. Economically, Banten has many industries and some seaport which are developed as anticipation to accommodate capacity surplus from seaport in Jakarta. That was today in history.
Beda.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Ministry of Industry provides international certified chemical industry human resources. The Ministry of Industry provided international certified chemical industry human resources through vocational education owned by the Ministry of Industry, including the Vocational High School SMK of the Chemical Analysis High School SMAK Padang, and the Vocational High School of Industrial Technology SMTI Padang. Head of the Industrial Human Resources Development Agency of the Ministry of Industry, Eko Cahyanto, in his statement in Jakarta Wednesday, October 2, said that two vocational schools in Padang have been known to have excellent quality so that the majority of graduates will directly work with a percentage of 70 to 90%. While watching the graduation, as many as 374 graduates recently said that SMK, SMAK Padang, as a chemical analyst provider, was able to show an excellent reputation. Eko Cahyanto explained, based on the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap, the chemical industry is one of the five manufacturing sectors that get development priorities in order to implement 4.0 industry. To make the sector can be globally competitive, it requires reliable industrial human resources. Several achievements were recorded by SMK Vocational School Padang, including becoming the defending champion 7 times, respectively, to rank the first national examination at the West Sumatra provincial level, the first champion at the provincial level competency in chemistry, and the general champion at the provincial mathematics Olympiad in 2018. The Industry Ministry Vocational School graduates are not only champions in the country, but they also ready to compete at the international level because the Ministry of Industry facilitates the granting of international certificates to them. In the recent graduation ceremony, 98 graduates of the SMK SMTI Padang received international certification. The certification was given to 49 people in the field of industrial chemistry and 49 people in the field of health, safety, environment quality from VAPRO International, as well as 85 graduates of Padang High School in chemical analysis with Certificate 3 in laboratory skills from Hobart Laboratory, Australia. Meanwhile, Vocational High School SMTI also prepares skilled workers who have competence in the industrial world, especially industrial chemistry specializing in the processing of coconut oil and essential oils. That was My Indonesia.
Dengar jelas bintang utara memanggil satu hari yang dinanti terpancar terang di bawah langit terlihat jejak setapak mengarah dan ku sedang mengikuti sampaikan salam dari hati lalui tanah air udara kawan camat ikut bicara sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk
tujuan terlihat dekat memandang garis batas di lautan yang membiasku kan datang. Sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara. Kawan camat ikut bicara. Sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati alungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Kulalui tanah air dan udara. Dari hati lalui tanah air udara. Kawan camat ikut bicara. Sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati alungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, it's good to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce you Likurai Dance. First October until 6 October 2019, Likurai Timor Festival is being held in Padan Fulan Fehan Belu Regency East Nusa Tenggara, NTT. The event performs Likurai Dance, a traditional dance like typical war dance from Belu. Tourists who would like to come to the festival can enjoy typical dance from the province and learn the local culture. The word Likurai comes from two syllables, liku meaning mastering and rai meaning land. So the dance means mastering the earth. Initially, the dance was the one to welcome heroes post-war as gratitude, expression and happiness of the people over the winning they obtained and the return of the heroes. Until now, Likurai dance is often performed for traditional ceremony, welcoming important guests and event performance of art and culture. In the Belu's typical dance, the movements between male dancers and female dancers are different. The female dancers' movements are dominated by hand movements that play drums quickly and stomping feet movements alternately, while the female dancers dance with body waddle movements based on the rhythm, whereas male dancers' movements are usually dominated by the hand movements by playing the sword and stomping feet movements based on the beat. At the performance, Likurai dance usually does not use any accompaniment music. The sound of the music used usually comes from the sound of small drums played by female dancers and the sound of slides set at the feet of dancers. They are also the sounds of screaming by male dancers who make the dance more lively. At the performance, some male dancers use swords and female dancers use small drums as dancing attributes. The female dancers are usually wrapped in a long sarong that covers their bodies from chest to feet, hair usually rounded by using a Belu typical headband. Besides, the female dancers also use various accessories, such as typical bracelets and necklaces, whereas the male dancers usually wear long-sleeved shirts and sarong. They also use Belu typical headbands on the head. While dancing, the male dancers usually carry a sword in their right hand and a scabbard in their left hand. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Lee Kurai Dance. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miscellany. Today's edition will inform you about Black Hawk unmanned aircraft launched. Stay tuned. Puna Mel Black Hawk unmanned aircraft was launched in Bandung, West Java on Monday. This aircraft is used to conduct surveillance in maintaining the sovereignty of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia, both on land and sea, through air monitoring. This aircraft is production of the Unmanned Aircraft Consortium, consisting of Agency for Assessment and Application of Technology, Ministry of Defense and Air Force as users. Bandung Institute of Technology as a partner college. PT Dirgantara Indonesia as an aircraft manufacturing industry partner. PT Land Persero, which developed the system control and cargo, and National Aeronautics and Space Agency. The unmanned aircraft, or PUNA, or Medium Altitude Long Endurance, or MEL, type drones called Black Hawk, are capable of flying non-stop for more than 24 hours. Head of the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, Hamam Riza, said that the MEL Black Hawk unmanned aircraft is a production of Indonesia, ranging from design and engineering. The name Black Hawk in Puna MEL was given by Minister of Research and Technology, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang P.S. Brojonegoro. Hamam Riza explained that the development of Puna MEL is aimed at supporting the independence of the main tools of the country's defense system and backing the intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and targeting. Puna MEL Black Hawk is planned to be armed with missiles and capable of flying with a cruising altitude of up to 23,000 feet. This monitoring is carried out in anticipation of threats that occur in border areas, as well as other cases such as terrorism, smuggling, piracy, and theft of natural resources, including illegal logging and fish theft. Hamam Riza hopes that the presence of Puna MEL will be able to answer the challenges related to the supervision of the sovereignty of the Republic of Indonesia and encourage Indonesia to become a developed, independent, and competitive country. It is hoped that with this independent Puna MEL, Indonesia can fulfill the needs of the Indonesian Air Force Squadron to be able to oversee the territory of the Republic of Indonesia through air vehicles. Puna MEL has specifications such as cruising and communication power of up to 250 kilometers, duration of continuous flight up to 30 hours, dimensions of aircraft length 8.3 meter and wingspan 16 meter. That was miscellany for today about Black Hawk unmanned aircraft launch. We will meet again with another interesting topics. See you next time.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play original song from North Sumatra entitled Sing Sing So. The song tells about a Batak young man who is confused with his boat at Toba Lake. In the song, the young man longs for his lover, who is hoped to be his soulmate. Seemingly, he is not able to stem from his longing that he sings a hope in so that the wind carries his boat to go to the place where his lover is. In its lyrics and song, anybody who hears will feel the young man's anxiety, that he only sits quietly on his boat and hopes the wind to carry him to the woman that he loves. This song is nice and sad to hear. Well, here is Vicky Sianipar featuring Alasan Nababan with the song entitled Sing Sing So.
Parbicar ni mata ni arida. Tu lagi. Parbicar ni mata ni arida.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. And Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address VOI@vianews.id.